On this day before Ascension, I invite you to hear the Ascension prophecy found in Psalm 110, verses 1 and 2. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies." It's a campaign season. What do you think of American politicians or military dictators? Human leaders in general. From the President of the United States all the way down to the local city councilman, human leaders are people with the same problems with human nature that you have. So it's no surprise when they make mistakes, or they exercise poor judgment, or they fall into sin. It's no surprise if they serve their own interests selfishly at the expense of citizens. And then a day comes when they're done. They resign, or retire, or die, which means that someone else takes their place with the same problems of human nature. Well, imagine the perfect human leader. One who never makes mistakes, never falls into sin, only does the right thing, and never has to be replaced. Imagine this perfect leader in charge every day, every year, throughout your entire life. You don't really have to imagine that, do you? We have such a one in charge of everything we face. That ancient prophecy is not some mystical statement from the past. It describes the greatest authority in your life right now. It points to Jesus as the ascended Lord who takes charge forever. And that, dear Christians, is more than a fact. It's a reason to celebrate. Tomorrow we celebrate the anniversary of our Savior going home. His original home. His permanent home. It was always part of the plan. The Son of God would come down to earth, give up His heavenly glory for a while, and do the work of the Savior. Once the work was done, He would take His glory back and continue to be what He always was. The Almighty Lord in charge of everything. We hear Jesus talk this way in His prayer to the Heavenly Father before His death, John 17. "I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory which I had with You before the world was." At this point, Jesus is looking at the route home for Him as a path that goes first to the cross, then to the grave, then out of the grave, also briefly down to hell to show His victory over the devil, and after 40 days, back home in heaven, where He would receive a champion's welcome from the angels and the Heavenly Father. I'm going to try an earthly comparison to help you get a picture of this. Think of the ticker tape parade that was given to the American soldiers coming back from World War II. Imagine a similar parade that perhaps would be given to American forces if they could decisively win the war in Afghanistan or Iraq. Or maybe a medal ceremony for the Olympic champion with the entire audience cheering. Well, what we hear in our text is bigger than all of that. And it really did take place in heaven. The Father said to the Son, "Sit at My right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Now, the right hand is more than a place of honor. The Father is telling God the Son, "Take charge with Me. Take charge of all things, and together we will establish Your kingdom over the enemy." Jesus talked about this power he had. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Let's remember the human Jesus said that. It's a detail we shouldn't overlook. Putting the Son of God in charge, well, that's nothing new. That's business as usual, the Creator God over His creation. But the ascension of Christ would involve the human Jesus. At the right hand of the Father, ruling all things, would be the flesh and blood Son of Mary. The same man who suffered on a cross and shed His blood. Blood He has right now in His body. The same body risen from the grave. That man is your King of all creation, your Lord of all believers, your conqueror of all your enemies. We're not talking about a battlefield with Kevlar, bullets, bombs, and soldiers in combat. The enemies you face spiritually are the kind that can do some permanent damage to you and me. Enemy number one is our sin, our guilt, the sum total of breaking all of God's commandments and our inability to pay for any of it. Well, thankfully, Jesus took care of that on the cross. His resurrection proves it, and so does His ascension. His ascension has to mean that God accepted everything He did as though you did it. His ascension has to mean that your sins are forgiven. Paul puts it this way in Romans, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." You can think of Jesus as your everyday lawyer in heaven, who always gets the supreme judge to say, "You're not guilty." What about the other enemies? Death, that's a big one. Hell, Satan. Jesus beat them too the same way on the cross through His resurrection and His ascension. His resurrection and ascension are basically God's promise that you, in your risen body, will be with the Father the same way that Jesus is right now. You know, it's a rare thing when you get to celebrate victory before it's all over. You can't do that on the baseball or softball field or basketball court. That would be premature and spell disaster, loss, defeat. But you can and should celebrate victory early in your Christian life and Christian worship. That's because His victory is yours. What about your sin? It's gone. Death? Well, that's God's way of taking your soul into heaven. Satan? He's put on a leash. He can't touch you if you stay close to Christ. Hell is closed for you. Heaven is yours. We have many reasons to celebrate Ascension Day and every day after with this attitude of the psalm writer. "This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." As our closing hymn of celebration, I invite you to join me in singing hymn 213, stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6, the first two and the last two stanzas of hymn 213.